Oh, look at that. I knew something about a punk band.
Just some old fat drunk dudes jumping up and down.
This tree just planted itself right on top of the cement.
I did watch a YouTube video today.
My dad mashed potatoed
of
Enema
Chris
the
Carrava.
Aaron doesn't know who Chris Carrava is. It's so good. That's great.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Punk Tree. We are excited to hang out for a little bit. And especially on this episode, we are excited because we have our first of, I think we hope, many guests who are going to be coming on in the coming weeks and months. And so we have a conversation with John Painter on this episode, who's a friend of Jesse's. He was a student actually alongside me when we were in college. I didn't even know him, but he was. And it's maybe a bit of an aside. John is a musician, and we're going to talk about music and some other things with him. But his expertise is kind of an interesting collaboration, I think, in the conversation we're trying to have.
He's a certified arborist.
Right. Which is a good thing, I believe.
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah.
How could it be a bad thing?
Well, it just kind of sounds bad. I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting word. I'm a certified arborist.
Like, because if you add ist to the end of anything, it insinuates that you hate it.
Right. Well, if you put emphasis differently on the word therapist, it's going to sound way worse.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we Jesse and I had a really cool conversation with John, and he shared some cool stuff, which we'll get to in a little bit. But before that, you know, every time we get together, we try and start with just kind of chatting about music. Which is what this thing's really about. And so, you know, it's been about a week since we chatted, and I'm wondering, what have you guys been listening to? What's been in your ears in the last few days?
I'm going to jump in and go first. I was just popping around on YouTube recently, and I found that MXPX just put out a new single. And it was called Worries, and it was a pretty fun song. It was like really sounded just like classic MXPX, just what you'd expect. And I really enjoyed that song, listened to that quite a few times. But what's been on my playlist all week is a brand new record from Emery. Emery's one of my favorite bands, have been for, I don't know, 15 years or so. They've been going strong through all this quarantine and everything. And their record's actually coming out in early June. But if you pre-order it, you just get an immediate download. The way they release their music is actually pretty unique. They release it all independently now from their own site, so there's no middleman or anything. But so I made my pre-order for their record, and I was able to download it immediately. I've been listening to it. It's called White Line Fever. The whole record's great. I'm a big fan. But also what I've been listening to from them is a little EP they put out, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 months ago, called Palmetto. Just a really different style of music. It's a little bluesier, definitely not very rocking at all, but I've really been enjoying that as well. So MXPX and Emery have been on my list.
Someone he loves more than anything. Can he make up for lost time? Can he go back and make wrongs right? Sometimes life makes sense to me, but sometimes I question everything. No, I'm not who I want to be. Can I start again?
Cool. How about you, Aaron?
All right, I'll jump in and go second. And I'm going to surprise you guys, because earlier you were calling me a liar when I said I wouldn't listen to a band, but I actually,
that was me. I called you a liar.
Yeah, I know, Jesse, cause you're a jerk.
I said, Aaron, you're a liar. You will not listen to more Midtown.
Oh, you know what I did yesterday?
Listen to more Midtown.
I listened to the same Midtown, but I listened to it again. But with, like I said on that previous podcast, when we did our showdown, I was trying to be a little more open. And so I did I popped it in and, you know, thought about some of the things that we thought about. You talked about how a lot of times in pop punk, they do discuss some very meaningful things and deep things. And, you know, a lot of times in my life, I had just written it off because of the sound, but I did listen to and did find that they do cover some pretty deep stuff in that album. And, you know, I'm trying to appreciate music, well, like music outside of my normal interest a little more. So I did. I also, I'll say my like for that album, Living Well is the Best Revenge, probably went up maybe two notches. So I'm at like a, I don't know, 3.5 out of 10 right now.
Went about weird. Two notches to a two.
And if I continue listening, that's going to wax and wane. So it'll probably go up to like 4.25 next time. And then next time, probably drop down to a two.
Was there any individual track that stuck out as one that you enjoy more than others? Was it still Faulty Foundation or did something else grab your
ear? You know, actually, my like for Faulty Foundation probably bumped up probably three notches. So I'm at like a five with that song. But I gotta look up I don't ever remember song, so I gotta look that up real quick. What's the first song on that CD?
Become What You Hate.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Stuck out a little bit more to me. And I was doing dishes and stuff while I was doing this. That's right. I'm a man and I do dishes. It's 2020, people, get over it. So I don't remember exactly what it was, but I remember listening to the lyrics and like kind of being able to almost identify with some of the stuff they're talking about. And yesterday while I was doing some grades, I was like, you know what? I'll just find a new band that I haven't listened to. So I went on to Rise Records website and just picked, I think I picked Knuckle Puck, and just went out to YouTube, punched that in and let it play. And then, you know, in the mix, Belmont came on, which in the past I hadn't really liked some of the stuff, but it came onto their CD, Between You and Me, and I let it play, and it actually has some stuff on there that I like quite a bit. You know, like I said, I'm trying to listen to music a little more deeply and not just on a surface level. So really saw a lot of stuff in there that that I did like. A lot more of the elements of punk with like the fast drum beats and some even like metal type stuff. And I've realized that a lot of times with these bands, it's the voice of the singer that kind of gets me, that because a lot of them typically have kind of a high pitch, like it sounds like they're whining to me when they sing, and it's hard for me to get past that. So I'm trying to do that.
I think as I've been like having headphones in or whatever, I've been listening to Pennywise Full Circle a lot.
Nice.
You know, there's something I'm kind of like digging back into those Epitaph things a lot, the bands a lot, and so trying to work my way back through some of the stuff I really liked when I was in high school. I think I should, it's worth like naming something that I have really appreciated, is again some of this home concert stuff, which I mentioned on the last episode, but last night, and this won't come out for like a week or so, but a couple weeks, last night John Foreman had Dustin Kensrew on, played a Peter Gabriel song.
So epic.
It was awesome. And I think in general, John Foreman has been like trying to have really interesting people on for collaboration videos or just conversations. I've appreciated that quite a bit. I've watched them every few days. And that kind of pushed me back into some of his music. He had a series of EPs about 10 years ago that were, I think, monumental in terms seasons? Of like, yeah, the seasons EPs. I think that they are like, they should be in the canon of singer songwriter, or just songwriting in general. They're
who's
they're
to say they're not.
They are in mine. They are in mine. And so I've been listening to like, yeah, the combination of when I've been sitting at the computer, I've had like John Foreman stuff going on. When I've been out and around with my phone in my pocket, I've been listening to Pennywise. Two totally different things going on, but I think you probably see my conception of Mike is somewhere in the middle of those things, I think. So that's what's been going on for me. Cool. I appreciate the well-roundedness of all of this.
Yeah.
You know, I wondered as we had these conversations if we were going to end up listening to a bunch of the same stuff a lot of the time. I think it's actually pushing us to listen to different things. We're actually maybe intentionally diverging before we reconverge for these conversations.
Absolutely.
You're mentioning that you think it's cool that just the diversity of what you end up listening to, you went between John Foreman and Pennywise. And I actually always thought my music taste isn't that eclectic, but I always thought it was at least a little bit so, because if I'm scrolling through my iTunes artists, two that are kind of back to back that you're like, oh, you listen to both of those is I've got Norma Jean obviously in there. But if I'm just sorting alphabetically, coming right before that is Norah Jones.
Okay. So, I thought it was going to be Nickelback. I thought it was going to be Nickelback. I was doing
back to back Norah Jones, Norma Jean. Sometimes the mood can just really swing.
I love me some Norah Jones. You know that.
Yeah, I know. Are they back to back in your library then?
I don't know.
Do you have anything between them?
They might be. I am going to take the moment right now to scroll. Let's see. Nope. They're right next to each other.
Yes,
yeah, followed by the Notorious B.I.G. So oh, nice. There we Ooh. Go. There we go.
I wonder what I've got after.
Norma that's awesome, Jean. Guys. So we are going to get here to our interview, not interview, more of a conversation with John Painter. He's got some stuff he's going to talk about that I think is awesome. Jesse and I had a nice, I would call it a tidy conversation with him. It just flowed. He is very much our people, thoughtful. Interested in interesting things, and the conversation is going to go all over the place a bit in that little box, from teaching us about our namesake, the punk tree, which is a real thing, and we even will get into some probably very unknown and new punk rock music.
All right,
from his time in Poland. So we've got an interesting conversation with a really interesting guy. Excited to share it with all you guys.
Hey guys, we got something pretty sweet for you guys here. We've got a buddy of ours named John, who's an arborist, and we wanted to bring him on the show to talk about our namesake, the punk tree, because as we have come to find out, the punk tree is the actual nickname of a tree. So we asked John to come on and just kind of explain a little bit more about that and how that tree got its name and some things like that. So welcome to the podcast, John. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So let's jump in. What does it mean to be an arborist?
Well, there's different levels.
I know I'm not an arborist, and you are. What does it mean?
I am an arborist. I would say there's two meanings of arborist. There's Joe Schmo with the chainsaw and a pickup truck, who comes over and does your tree for you, and maybe he does a good job, or maybe puts the tree on your house, you know? So that's one level of arborist. And then there's another level, try to be professionals. I'm a certified arborist with the International Society of Arboriculture. So we're a group that tries to be extra fancy with big names and long titles. And so it's a certification. I have to keep up continue education credits. I need to go to seminars and do things like that to keep up with industry and with best management practices and things like that. So that's what it means for me to be an arborist.
So legit. All right, great. Thanks. What then can you tell us about the Punk Tree? Yeah, tell us more about it.
Okay. Well, Punk Tree is one of the common names for an Australian native called the Melaleuca quinquennervia. That's the Latin or scientific name for a tree. And that's how we make sure we're all on the same page when we're talking about a tree, because in the Florida area, they call it a punk tree. Here in Southern California, we tend to call it a paper bark tree.
I never knew that was the same thing.
It's the same tree.
Oh my God.
And that's why common names are not necessarily the best way to label a tree, because they're different in each location.
See, so my 10-year-old daughter was like, I showed her a picture and she was like, oh, that's a paper tree. And I berated her basically.
Yeah.
Because I said, no, you're absolutely wrong, child. they must be wildly different.
Names. Yeah.
So just to clarify, you're saying that this paper tree that we have locally here in Southern California, it is the same exact species as the one same that's invasive species. In Florida?
That's the one that's invasive in Florida. And it's invasive in Florida because they have different climate and different growing habits. So like the Melaleuca here is it's a nice landscape tree, and there's a ton of them on Point Loma campus where I used to work. And they look good here and they grow well here, but they don't propagate too fast in this area. They don't take over the world like they do in Florida. That's why I don't know where the term punk tree comes from. I tried to look that up and I couldn't find anything on it, but it sounds like it's a derogatory term because they hate it in Florida, because it's taken over the Everglades, and Everglades are supposed to be marshy grasslands, but they're becoming punk tree forests, like full on just thick. You can't even get through them because they grow a ton of seeds that the birds love and the animals love, and they eat the seeds and propagate this, or like spread the seeds, which then go all over the Everglades and grow. And it's the best location for them. They love it. And so they grow everywhere and they push everything else out. So that's why.
So for the listeners that are trying to like picture what this tree is we're talking about, it's that kind of tree that you've definitely seen it around. It's it almost has like that really, I don't want to say flaky, but it's, like you can peel off layers and it's
papery.
Like spongy. It's like pleasant to like mush into.
Yeah. So it has a very thick but soft multi-layered bark that sheds a lot, and it kind of has lateral cracks all over it. And just, you can see all the layers in it, like 10s, 20 layer of this, the weird fluffy papery stuff, which is hence the local name here of paper bark tree. And they about a small to medium tree. They can be anywhere up to about 70 feet tall if you let them grow big enough. They tend not to grow that tall here because they're not natives to this area, but they can get up to like 40 or 50 feet if you let them here. They have kind of a whitish, like bottle brush looking flower when they do bloom. And their leaves are kind of a greenish, like more of a greenish, no, more of a bluish green, not just like bright green. And they're oval shaped, their leaves.
Yeah, that's what I think of when I think of.
And then they tend to also kind of have a, like a, I'm gesturing as if you can all see me, but I'm on a, they tend to have kind of a weeping.
Like a willow.
Not quite as weeping as a willow, but their branches do tend to kind of dangle and grow downwards as well. Yeah, so.
So what I'm imagining, and maybe I get too into the metaphor of things, but I'm drawing a parallel here, and maybe it's a chuckle parallel.
Go.
Yeah. If here they don't spread too quickly, and they don't grow too big, but in Florida,
or as sometimes I like to call it, Florida.
I like to call it Flo-Rida.
Too quickly. Flo-Rida. I'm sorry, Jesse. You are correct. Flo-Rida, they're growing too big and too quickly and propagating too much, and animals are crapping them out all over the place. If that sounds a little bit like Floridian neoconservatism to me, like a bit. And so maybe that's like a little idea we could couch to the side a little.
Okay. Okay.
We got to reopen our beaches. You know, we could say that. We didn't go too big and we didn't grow too fast. So we can go surfing now.
Well done. Well done.
Jesse, you had a thought there.
So what is the reason that this invasive species, specifically in Florida, gets the nickname punk tree?
Well, I'm not entirely sure, but it does sound to me like it's said because the tree is hated, because it's looked at as an invasive. So this is a punk tree because I don't like this tree.
And often, are there specific laws and stuff about it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it is. It is known as a noxious weed. And if you plant it in your landscape, the agriculture department can come by and rip it out. That's fully within their rights to do because it's considered that bad and invasive in Florida. So,
yeah. I think most of the bands that I have been in, at some point, somebody probably thought of us as being noxious weeds in some way. I remember being in a band in like eighth or ninth grade. And the cops came the very first time we practiced in a garage and we were disturbing the peace. They said we were disturbing the peace. And then we changed our band name to Disturbing the Peace immediately. And all of the signs in my hometown, which there were two that said dip, you know, the dip signs where there's like, we put a piece of black tape across the top. So it said DTP because we were really cool. Noxious weeds.
That's perfect.
It would have been a more sophisticated name to call ourselves that.
I think so. Yeah,
we've got to check in on the Florida punk scene and find out like what they've got against these trees, man. Like Southern California, we've got these punk trees, but we give them a nice name over there. They're just like they got a problem with it.
Yeah, definitely have a problem with it.
Well, this is a podcast about music, and so. It wouldn't be cool if we don't at least give you a chance to like chat about music with us a little bit. Can you tell us like what kind of music you're into?
Sure. I would honestly say pretty eclectic tastes. If my playlist went on shuffle, you'd hear everything from like K-pop hits to Thrice would come on every now and again for you guys.
Yeah.
Definitely.
We can't get through an episode without mentioning
them. I have to say Thrice. Jazz would come in there. Like the stuff I'm listening to right now, though, I just got an album by a band called Time Cop 1983, which is a neo 80s album. It came out in 2015, but it sounds like it's from the 80s, and it's just fantastic stuff. There's like rock ballads in there and synth work, and it's fantastic. It's like the guy who did the band is like he was born in 1983, so he was like, I make this music for nostalgia value. Yeah, I'm an 82, so I fully relate to him. He's doing it because that's nostalgic music to him, and so he's replicating it. And I'm like, well, I'm fully into that. I love it too. The stuff I listen to most, I think the band I listen to most is the DJ Bonobo, like Bonobo Monkey. Or Bonobo Monkey, however you say it. His name is Simon Green, but his stage name is Bonobo, and he's got like a ton of albums out, studio albums and mix albums. And the genre is known as downtempo electronica. And one of his albums, my favorite one at the moment, called Black Sands, a reviewer was like, I would label this narcoleptic downtempo. because it's just so chill. You want to go to sleep to it, which is exactly what I do. Like when I want to take a nap or I get hit by insomnia at night, I put one of his albums in, and it like I just pass out. It's the best stuff. So I listen to his stuff probably the most out of anyone.
Thanks for sharing. I definitely will be checking out Time Cop 1983. Yes, that's the top of my list for tomorrow.
It's perfect stuff.
Is there anything like within your playlists or your library that you would say like falls in the genre of punk?
I went to Poland in 2005 on a mission trip, and I got some just kind of some of the top 10 stuff. I got a jazz album, I got a rock album, and I also found a punk 22 Polish punk classics album from the 80s, and it's like mind-blowing stuff. I don't understand. I don't speak Polish, so I don't know what the lyrics are, but it's full like 80s punk stuff.
I can't.
Do you have digital copies of this?
I do believe I can find a digital copy of it. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yes. If at all possible, we're going to end this episode with some Polish punk rock.
Yeah.
Because like I have a little bit of a history buff in me. There are very few people on earth who have the right to pissed off punk rock like the Polish people have.
Yeah, dude.
They have been dumped on so much.
You're spot on.
No, that's amazing.
It's real stuff for sure.
All right. Well, thanks so much for sharing your expertise about both the trees and just some really fun new tunes that we'll get to check out. We appreciate you. Thanks so much, John.
No worries, guys.
Well, again, I want to give a special thanks to our friend John for coming on the show and sharing his expertise about everything from foliage to sleepy EDM to angsty Polish punk. We'll definitely get your address and send you some punk tree goodies. As Mike mentioned, we'll play out this episode with a Polish punk song. This is a song by a group called Deserter, and the song is called Rzeczywistość, which means gray reality. And one of the main lines you'll hear repeated in there is Ojepczysie, which apparently means piss off. So enjoy a little Polish punk as this episode plays out. Yeah!